Well, I don't know where I'd go. I've got some friends, but they're stewed all over.
Well, see, that's the situation. We have no facilities to care for you here, so you'd have to go back over there.
This is police headquarters.
And she told me if you don't stay home, I'll kill you, and that's what I don't want to hear. But I tell you this.
And this is Don Reed, a police recorder.
I don't know what I...
Right now, you're in the interrogation room. Sitting here, an elderly woman that's lost. Doesn't want to go home. You're going to follow the activities of Sergeant Perkins and his partner, Officer Paul Good, in Detective Unit 5-6 tonight. And while you're with us, remember, the people you meet are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
My daughter's there now. Mm-hmm. She's scared to death of her. And when I go to bed at night, I set up. That's what I do. She says, why don't you go to bed and stop sitting up? Oh, I says, I'm just getting rested.
How old is your sister?
She's 2 years younger than I am, and I'll be 80 pretty soon, but I guess it's 79. 78, but I don't know exactly. I'll have to figure it up someday. But I don't feel old. I can do a lot of work. But she's older, so kind of tired.
Hope you can patch up your differences.
What?
We certainly hope you can patch up your differences.
Well, but I don't want to go there alone. I want some one of you to come in and stay alone.
We'll go there. We'll make sure that you get there.
You want to go now?
Well, it seems she isn't lost after all. So, let's take her home and get this thing squared away.
Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch. Presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, already on assignment in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
You want to handle this, Paul? I'm going to see if I contact Sergeant Ward and see if he wants an assist on a robbery suspect.
Arriving now at the elderly woman's home. Apparently her sister waiting on the porch for us.
You want to wait in the car, ma'am, while the officers talk to your sister?
5-6-1, you contact Sergeant Ward and see if he wants an
assistant. Up the walk, informing the sister that we have the lost young lady in the car.
Do you have a sister?
We've been riding around here.
She contacted the beat officer over here in the center. And seems she was having some trouble or had a misunderstanding, is that it?
I tell you, she lives here with me. We've been here 3 years. And she just went haywire, her mind, the last 10 days.
I see.
So I've watched her pretty close all day, and
yeah.
She didn't get away from me. But she has got away from me before, and I've found her.
I see. She doesn't want to come back. That's the whole trouble.
She's been trying to get away from here.
Yes.
See? And we've had her to the doctor the middle of the week, and we had a doctor call. So we're just waiting for the doctor's report and plans, my daughters and I, to see what we're going to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we take her to a home or have someone come here and look after her.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
I understand.
What does she say is the reason she was away? Did she tell you? She's not here anymore.
Oh, she blamed
the
two and told her to get out and all
kinds of things. Oh, my Lord. Here, I'm just breaking. David, she tells me that she's been a killer. Chose her, and I don't know what all.
Yeah.
You know, they do that, have hallucinations.
Well.
Tells that to everybody she meets.
This is how she's putting
up. Well, we're to the doctor Wednesday. And
Officer Paul Good motioning out to the car to bring the young lady in. Let's go ahead and give her a hand.
Watch your step, man.
Well, how come? If you run away, that's why.
Well, I have to get out of that
barn.
Never mind now.
Sorry, we'll just
get
you
relaxed. Well, there's all these policemen.
They're walking around here.
Take care, will you please?
Okay?
Yes, it's all right.
Fine.
If you sit down if you've been.
Well, that's all. We can't stay there all
night. Did you decide to come home to sleep? Sleep? Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know whether I'd sleep or not.
Why? Well, the case is closed for the time being. It'll probably reopen again.
Well, we certainly hope things straighten themselves out here because.
Well, and she thinks you're having in for policemen. You want to come here?
All right.
Look at that leather.
Yeah, that's good leather.
He's a nice policeman, don't you think he looks nice?
Yes. Yeah.
And I said, now, here,
don't give him any more trouble. They got other things to do, you know, something more important.
Oh, that's all right. She gets lost. Look, I'm going to find her again.
You be good now. We'll see you.
Yes.
I'll just stay here.
When you come again?
Oh, we'll try and get by in the next couple of days.
Back to our radio unit.
Okay,
well, thanks very much. 5-0, 6-5-1 on traffic accident. Washington. 5-6, come in.
5-6, go ahead.
Control 1 to 5-6. We have just contacted Sergeant Ward. They have the robbery suspect in custody and are on Route 2 station. If you are clear, will you meet them there?
5-6, Roger. We're clear. Into the station.
1 to 5-6, 10-4.
Well, we got our young lady home again. What's the deal on this robbery suspect, Perk?
Do you remember the two liquor stores that were held up last Friday night on Washington Boulevard?
Yeah.
Ward got a tip earlier today, and he and Walter have been spaking out. Finally picked up the suspect and take him into the station now for questioning.
Hmm. That's funny. You know, last week we took the report from the two victims. You know, how he stuck a gun in their ribs and all that. Sure be interesting to see how tough he is now that he hasn't got that gun.
First time radio.
All right.
Let's see. What kind of
car? The suspect. Charged. Armed robbery. Tall. Sallow complexion.
Didn't make any noise.
Dressed in Levi's.
Got a witness over there that heard a car in the alley with a bad muffler, and we thought that was you rascals.
No.
You guys have been busier than Murdoch.
Yeah, I don't seem busy.
When did you get out of the deal in Texas?
June 28th.
You haven't been out very long,
have you? No, for not 90 days yet.
Well, I tell you what, we wanted to get the deal in Culver City straightened out, or the two deals in Culver City. Or maybe three deals. No, no,
yet. Well, boy pulled me up in the alley. I got out of the car. And I walked down the alley. First, I didn't walk up the alley. Behind the place, you know, right behind it, directly across the alley, was a light and a window. And I didn't know for sure if someone was up. Or where someone was just left their light on or not. You know, I didn't see a car parked there, so I figured, well, I'll check that window first and make sure. So I walked with the window, the curtain was down, it looked all right. See, I mean, I couldn't see anyone looking out the window. Mm-hmm. So I looked up and down that back alley, you know, and I didn't see anyone in the alley. So I walked to this little alleyway there, you know, the little thing that goes up to the storeroom door. I think it was a storeroom. Pretty sure it was, because it was all kinds of different assortments of whiskey and stuff stacked in there. And I had to step lightly, you know, to keep him stumbling over some of the stuff. I didn't want to disturb the man in there, because I figured if he did hear me, well, I mean, I'd never get there. And he was sitting with his back to me. I think maybe he was reading. And I told him that when he turned around, you know, not to move, I wasn't going to hurt him. All I wanted to do was open the cash register. He opened the cash register, and he started handing the money out. And I told him to go lay down. And he did. And I put the rest of the money in my pocket. Come back out the same way. I told him to lay down until I got out of the store. That's all it was to it.
How much money did you get out of that job?
Well, I couldn't tell you the exact figures, but I figure, just an estimate right now, About 160. 165, something like that.
Well, that must have been just about one of your top jobs, then.
That was about it, I imagine.
Now, this other job in Culver City is down on Washington Boulevard, where both you and your buddy went in.
Oh, yeah.
And the fella in the store was
two people in there.
Two people in there. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, what happened on that deal?
Well, sitting on the corner, isn't it? Right on the corner. I believe there's a stop, not a stop light, but a stop sign on the cross street going across this main boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled on the main street that the liquor store is on. We come down it and made a left on the side street right by the liquor store and pulled around to the left and stopped. And, let's see. We both got out of the car, left the car running.
Mm-hmm.
Went in the liquor store. The fellow, the oldest fellow, was in the front. The younger fellow was in the back in the storeroom. And I told the older fellow, stand behind the counter, you know, and not move.
Did you see the younger fellow in the storeroom?
Yes, I just kept walking after I told the older fellow, you know, stand behind the counter and not move. Then I walked straight on through because the other boy was right behind me, see. He walked right over with the old fellow and told him to open the cash register. And I just kept walking right straight on through behind the counter back to the younger fellow and told him to lay down. And he did. He laid down back there by the, you know, the boxes that were stacked up. And, as soon as the other boy told me that he had the money, I told the older fellow to come back there, too. He came back, come right by him, and I told him to lay down to the boy. And that was all there was. I mean, no bad words used, no threats, nothing. They laid down without any trouble.
Did your buddy have a gun on that deal?
No, sir. We never had but one, sir.
Just one gun?
Yes, sir. We went in there because there was two of them, you know, and, was, you know...
You knew there was two.
Yes, sir. We saw them. See, we saw one working from the back and the one standing in front, the older fella.
But did you case that job at all?
No. Yes, for maybe
first time you've ever been in a
two or three minutes that we sat there, you know, and figured out where they were in there, you know,
uh-huh.
As far as looking the place over the vicinity, no, sir. In fact, if I'd ever been there before, I didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about the fact that you had spent time in prison for robbery? How does it happen that you would go back into that particular line of work, shall we say?
Well, not having any money, for one thing, and not being able to get a job, you could say that. Of course, that's not enough excuse for a man to do something like that, and I realize that, too. I know that there's always a way if you try hard enough, I guess, but I was a little disgusted, and I was having a few other difficulties, too, at the time. Maybe I'm a little nutty to go with it. I don't know. A man must be to do those kind of things. That's the only reason I can go for it.
You're married.
Yes, sir.
Was that gun loaded on all the jobs that you pulled? How many jobs do you figure you and your partner pulled all together?
Well, best we can remember, about 10, I think. 8 or 10, something like that. We could have missed one. I'm not sure, you know. But anything I've done, I won't straighten it now. I don't want to have to straighten it up some other time.
How's your wife feel about it?
She's hurt, naturally. And there's nothing you can say to a person when it's like that. Not right. What could you say, you know? Anything you say is phony. 27 years old, and I've been locked up since I was 17. Something like that. Exceptions, a few months.
How many terms did you do in the state pen in Texas?
Two, really.
See here, they just go by your adult priors, and that would just be one. See, in Texas, they send them to the state pen pretty young.
That's 17. Well, you know, you hear this every day, probably, from everybody that you pick up, you know. I know you do. I've heard it in jailhouses all my life. You know, I've learned my lesson, and this is it, and I don't ever intend to do this no more and all that. But I've got a feeling I have had. I wouldn't say unsay this or that for sure, but I really believe that, oh, there's something about this place I like, you know.
I'd really like to be free here. And I believe if I get out and if I get a break and get the right thing, and people have been nice to me as I have already, I don't see how I can keep them doing right. I mean, I really believe that. Of course, I just talk. Now, a man has to prove himself. And I know that. I know you pay always to a certain extent for something like this, and I realize that, too. I know you've got to try to get help. If you don't want help, then no one will give you any.
If you show that you're willing to accept help and try to do what's right, chances are you'll get a very good break.
No,
well, we hope you come out of it all right anyway, week.
Thanks a lot. That's
sure.
Coffee.
I was right, Perk.
What's that?
This guy isn't very tough without a gun.
Sergeant Perkins. Yeah. Okay, I'll radio him. We'll be there in a few minutes.
What's up?
Got a trouble call. Let's go.
Okay.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. It's not very likely that you'd choose a crowded subway or bus as the place to figure out your income tax. All the elements needed for thoughtful concentration are lacking. It's quite possible, however, that your child is trying to learn arithmetic under conditions just as adverse, in an overcrowded classroom with an overworked teacher. To make sure he doesn't battle such impossible odds in the vital business of learning the three R's, join with other parents in your community to see to it that your school is well-equipped, well-staffed, and big enough for its big job. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and police recorder Don Reed.
Arriving on the scene at this trouble call, there's a uniformed car parked out in front. Sergeant Dirks talking to a woman on the porch. His partner, Arch Cameron, coming over to talk to us.
What's up, Arch? Sergeant Dirks and I got a call down here. This man and his wife got in an argument. He hit her in the eye. Sergeant Dirks suggested we call you down here because you've handled this case before.
Yeah, I remember last time I was down here she hit him over the head with a frying pan and one hit the other with a beer bottle.
They've both been drinking.
They won't sign a complaint, though. They haven't before. But let's go and see what we can do on this one.
Okay.
Wife standing on the porch, leaning on railing to keep from falling over. Just a kimono on. Yeah. Hair up in curlers. Yeah. One eye swollen shut. Gripping a frying pan.
Look what he did to me. Well, what am I supposed to do now?
Where is he?
He's in there, and I'm afraid to go in. Where am I going to go?
Well, he has a habit of jumping out
of those. This means a separation, you know.
Sergeant Dirks is helping her into the house.
Just take him for the night. I don't care what you do with him, but don't let him take the car keys. It's my car now.
Husband stretched out under the van, smoking a big black cigar. Little puppy crowding under the chair.
What you did? You want a food? Look at this. I thought you didn't do that. I did it to myself.
What happened?
Husband flicking cigar ashes on the rug.
Well, what'd you do tonight? Just about that. Nothing.
Well, go on and tell me.
Well, we came home. Nothing happened. And...
Because I wouldn't come out and cook him dinner. I went to bed, see, on the bed, and he did this to me.
Take a minute, please.
In the light.
Would you please, sir?
It's beginning to change color.
Go with you. I mean, this time.
Wait a minute, Ed.
Yes, you are going. You are not going to break my face up anymore. He put on a pretty act. I saw that. I ran in and got this.
That frying pan. Not
did
aluminum.
You scratch your wife?
Heavy iron.
What happened? How did you get that bruise?
Nothing, Chief.
You're a dirty, rotten liar. You did it with your fist. I don't do this to myself.
The officer asked a question, and I said no.
You're lying, though.
I'm not left-handed.
Not left-handed. That's what you said before when you blocked my eye. Please take him. Take him someplace.
Did you,
He did it. I wouldn't do this to myself. None of you.
In your condition, you could fall and do that yourself anytime. You've been drinking as much as he did.
This is the third time around with this couple. Both are too intoxicated to sign a complaint.
You know that he hit me with...
Did you see that happen?
She got mad at me, and there was nothing happening. I was sitting in the chair, and when she took off out the door and said she was going to call the officers and have me put in...
What do you mean, call the officers? I didn't have anything on but a torn pair of pajamas when you hit me, and I ran out. I finally came back, and I peeked through the window, and I saw you sitting here and went in and got the robe, and then...
Well, I'll talk to the officers when you...
And I called the next door neighbor. Ask her if you don't believe it. You're lying.
If the officers have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
He's lying.
Yeah, how did she get that bruise on her feet?
That I wouldn't. No.
Did you have a scuffle?
No.
You had an argument?
No scuffle. Nothing. No argument.
He just came in on the bed and...
I don't want any argument.
I just like he did. Like.
I got over those.
Yeah. Tell the truth. And you came in and hit me with your fist because I wouldn't get up and cook. I told you I wasn't going to. And you hit me with your fist.
Sorry, I'm not left-handed.
Oh, don't pull that stuff again. My face is hurting. You hit me. I don't care if you're unmarried to me. Get out. He just got out of jail now. 2 weeks ago. He's been in there a month and a half. 45 days. He just got out. But he doesn't have to beat me up, you know, because he's honored with the world. I'm just afraid to stay here with him. That's all. I'm honestly afraid. Make him go someplace.
Do you have anybody you can stay with tonight?
With me?
By going away on a bus or a taxi?
I've got a little puppy dog in here that he kicked.
Well, I advise you, too, that I don't see you back here tonight.
No, that's perfectly all right with me.
I'll tell you something.
He'll come back and beat me up. You watch.
You're in no position to file a complaint against anybody. You're not sober enough to know what's right and what's wrong. And you've been drinking too much to stand around and argue with your wife. And I'll tell you something else. If we get many more complaints, and
come back to the other side.
But you're mistreating your wife. We're going to file on you for a felony wife beating.
Just take him out for tonight. That's all. I've got a little puppet dog that he kicked tonight with his feet.
If you can't get along, you better get separated.
Who did? Nothing.
And tonight, I would advise you to go ahead and put on
the... Maybe he killed him.
Place to
spend tonight. But he kicked him with his shoe. His big shoe, you know.
Kicked
the dog.
Don't forget, I've gone to court with you two a couple of times. If he comes back, you...
Wait a minute. Before he goes, make him leave me some money here. Let me have done. What'd you leave me? $2? You give me some money. He's got $40. Your bill's full. That's right. Leave me the 10. You only need 3 to get a room.
You want the bill full, too?
He'll come back and try to beat me up.
You just lock all the doors and windows.
For what?
Officers assisting husband to the uniform car.
If it's okay with Sergeant Dirks, why don't you drop him off at a motel?
Okay, Burke, will do. History repeats itself.
Yeah. Remember the last time we took him to a motel?
Yeah. She didn't remember they had an argument and accused him of staying out all night.
What you have just heard is real. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. For their disposition, we return you to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
The first case of the elderly woman that was lost, other than returning her home, no other police action was necessary. The second investigation, in which the suspect was arrested and questioned regarding his part in a holdup, resulted in his confession in court, where he was found guilty. The penalty for armed robbery is 5 years to life in the state prison. The final case of the husband and wife involved in a fight left the officers with no choice than to separate the pair. The case was entered into the records as advised. Earlier this week, a mother brought her teenage son into our juvenile bureau, where he volunteered the information that certain boys at his school had purchased several marijuana cigarettes from a suspect that drove up each afternoon. Now, this young teenager told the officers he had little knowledge of this narcotic, but he had followed two narcotics investigations while listening to Night Watch. From that information, he had learned briefly what the two narcotics looked like, how it is usually obtained from a pusher, and he learned the danger of using this drug. Armed with this information, our officers immediately moved in for the arrest. If we can reach just a few, especially teenagers, then we have a reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins and described in the field by Police Recorder Don Reed.